Thank you, Elder Edwin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. Some 2,000 years ago today, Christ arose from the grave. That is to say, he died and then he was raised from the dead. He resurrected. So one question many would ask is, as Christians, why are we so happy about it? What's so joyous about this resurrection of Christ? Well, the resurrection of Christ carries much significance. There are at least four reasons why we should be joyous. For one, it shows that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus has come down to this earth to die for our sins according to the Scriptures. And according to God's word, he will die and on the third day rose again. If he had not risen, then it would mean that he is not the promised Messiah. Neither do his promises while he was with us stand. He would be either a liar or a madman claiming to be a savior. This also means we are still in our sins. And as his followers, we have actually believed in him wrongly. And thus, are of all sinners most miserable. Because not only are we still sinners, we are sinners who believe in the wrong Messiah. But Christ arose, and this shows that he is the Savior. A second reason, the resurrection of Christ shows that death has no power over him. He has victory over death. Why? Because Christ is God. Death cannot keep Christ, for he had conquered death. Ever since the fall of the first man, we are cursed with not only trials and tribulations, work and toil, we are also under the curse of death and grave. Unlike what we always hear people say, death is actually not a natural thing. We are not made to die. Death comes to this earth together with the first sin. But Christ, by his death on the cross, has redeemed us, not only from death, but also into everlasting life. He is our victory. And not only that, by his death and resurrection, he had also conquered for us the world, sin, hell, and the devil. Christ is our victory. A third reason why we are so happy is because Christ has promised that when he comes again, we will be resurrected. Okay, what does that mean? That means those who are dead in Christ, their bodies will be raised to join their souls that are already in heaven. And then God will transform this united body into a glorified one. We do not know how exactly this glorified body is like, but we look forward to that day when we will suddenly find out. And you may ask, what happened to the ones who are still alive when Christ returned? Right? Well, they are lifted up, body and soul, to meet Christ in midair, and they will also be transformed and glorified. Christ's resurrection tells us of our resurrection. Our resurrection shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the third reason. And one more reason why we should be happy is with the promise of resurrection, we find strength and hope in this life. We know that all that we are going through in this life are but for a short while. And this world is not our home. After we died, our soul will be made perfect and do immediately join Christ in paradise. Right? That's what Reverend Chan told us in the Good Friday message. Right? Today you shall be with me in paradise, right? Not tomorrow. Immediately join Christ in paradise while waiting for our body to be resurrected. What awaits us is not darkness. It is not hopelessness. It's not despair. It is not an unknown question mark. This is because the Word of God tells us we have a much better country after this life. After we breathe our last breath, we are translated to heaven. And all this are made possible by the risen Christ, who has also promised us that if we trust in Him, He will send us the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us as we sojourn on this earth and eventually lead us to everlasting life. And that's why Christians are joyful over the resurrection of Christ. And this is why we remember Resurrection Sunday. Because by his resurrection, we know that 1, Christ is our Savior. 2, Christ has victory over death, the world, hell, sin, and devil. 3, that we will also be resurrected and glorified like He is. And 4, we can live with this hope and strength as we wait for Jesus' second coming. That's resurrection. But this morning, I'm not going to talk further about resurrection. I'm not going to go through with you again history, how Jesus has risen, how the disciples had found an empty tomb and saw Him in His glory. Neither am I going to prove to you that Christ has indeed risen. Enough evidence has been gathered and stated again and again to prove that Jesus really died and that He really rose again. We have talked about this for thousands of years. Let truth be truth. Right? I just leave it as it is. The Bible, God's Word, says it, and that settles it. And I pray that you will believe if you have not already had. Instead, I want to go into why is it so difficult for us to believe in the good news? Why is it so hard for us to believe in Christ? And by that I mean everything in the Bible, right? Everything in the Bible that tells us about Christ, His virgin birth, His works, His miracles, His death, His resurrection, and of course, the truth that by believing in Him, we shall have everlasting life. We're going to talk about one important step that takes place in your heart when you believe. One important step that begins it all is called regeneration. Believing in Christ involves this. Believing the Savior has come to this earth to die for our sins and on the third day rose again. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, right, which Elder Edwin had read for us just now. And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ came to this earth, and then He was raised up, and He ascended from this world. The crux of this whole passage in chapter 3, and in fact, some would even say the most important verse in the whole Bible is, of course, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We are dead in sin. We all need to be punished. This punishment is death. God loves us, and He sent His Son to die for our behalf. Christ died as a perfect man, and He was raised up on the third day. The question this morning is, why is it that some people on hearing this have simply believed, whereas others would not? Is there anything we can do to help people believe? The answer, no, there's nothing we can do to help, especially our loved ones, believe. No matter how hard we try, no matter how we wish that they would share the same joy and peace that is in us, It is all the work of God. You can't even give away your salvation to someone else. Right? The Apostle Paul had told us that. Yes, we can bring them to church, and we must share the gospel, we must pray for them, but ultimately, it is God's Holy Spirit that does the work in their hearts. And to illustrate this, we shall focus on just one verse this morning. John 3 and verse 8. I'll read that for you again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Right? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So what we do here is we break up this verse into four parts and thus giving us 4 points today. Starting with point one, the sovereignty of God. On the first part of this verse, the wind bloweth where it listeth. When Jesus was on this earth, he had performed many miracles, right? Healing the deaf and blind, mute and lame, but he did not heal just for healing's sake. He had healed to show his power and authority so that people might repent of their sins and believe in him. Now his works provoked the jealousy and enmity of many religious teachers there. But there was one who was not offended. Right? And that man is Nicodemus. He heard of, or might even have witnessed, the miracles of Christ. And so he decided to look for Jesus and ask him. Oh, he was careful, right? Because he was a leader of the Jews. So he came by night. When he met Jesus, well, he did not acknowledge Jesus as God. He just said, Jesus must be sent by God. Jesus looked at him and said in John 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To believe in Christ, you must be born again. God must regenerate you. God must soften your heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh so that you can believe. It is almost like God opening your eyes, and at that moment you begin to understand. You know, we are sinners who are totally lost. By ourselves, there's no way we can trust and have faith in Jesus. That's the first step for everything is what we call regeneration, or to be born again. When you are born again, you will believe in Christ and everything that is written about him. No need for arguments. Everything became so clear to you. So what is this born again? Regeneration is one of those mysteries that is so difficult to explain. And each of us has our own different story of how we come to the Lord, isn't it? Some are born into Christian families, some are converted, some strayed and even ran away from God and are brought back to him. Some even defied and cursed him, and but were overcome and submitted to him. Some know God the hard way, some know it through their parents, some have people praying fervently for them, some struggle their way to the presence of God. Each of us here in the sanctuary has our own story. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. But all of us who believe in Christ are regenerated in Jesus' blood. We look at the cross and we believe. Now imagine telling this to someone who is new in Christ, new to Christ. Right? To be born again, it can really be hard to understand, isn't it? Oh, this is the same case for Nicodemus. Right? And guess what? Probably at this time, in the dark night, a wind came. Right? And we can imagine it howling, and maybe Nicodemus could even hear leaves on the tree rustling noisily in this otherwise quiet night. And Jesus used the analogy of wind to illustrate what it means to be regenerated by God. Now, using wind to describe the work of the Holy Spirit is very appropriate because both the Hebrew word right? Rower and the Greek word pneuma for wind are also used to describe the spirit. Now, one characteristic of wind is no one is able to control it. It blows in the direction it wants to blow. Similarly, God's spirit works in the hearts of those he had chosen even before time. God is always in sovereign control. When the truth of God comes to you, it enlightens your mind. It gives you a new heart, and it generates in you a new will. It affects the mind, the heart, and the will. It is a total transformation. But all this can only come from God, and God can do wonders. You know, this reminds me of the passage on the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. I'm sure most of you will be familiar with that passage. The prophet Ezekiel was carried out, right, in the spirit of the Lord and set in the midst of a valley. Right? And this valley was full of dry bones. Nothing can be more dead than these dry bones. He was told to preach the word of God to these dry bones. And what did God do? God breathed life into these bones. He laid us. He brought up flesh. He covered it with skin, and he put breath in them, and they came to life. The dry bones are like unregenerated people, people without the gospel, dead in sins. We were all once dead in sins like the dry bones. It is God who breathes the new life into us, who writes a new song in our heart and open our eyes so that we can see the truth. But before God actually did this thing to the dry bones, he did ask the prophet Ezekiel one question. When Ezekiel looked at this valley of dry bones, God has asked him, can this bones live? And do you know what was Ezekiel's reply? Oh Lord God, thou knowest. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. Whether you believe in Christ or not, it appears to be your choice. But from the beginning to the end, it is the sovereign God who wills you to believe. And we often say, oh, trust in Jesus and you'll be safe. This is right. But remember, we have nothing to boast of, even our faith. For it is God who worked the faith in you. It is God who breathed life into your dead body according to his good pleasure. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, point two, the assistance of God. Looking at the second part of John 3:8, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Now, does wind produce a sound? Of course, it does, right? I still remember one night when I managed to reach church before the rain came, and I heard the howling winds outside, and I thank God I was not caught in the winds and the rain. Yes, the winds blow, and all of us can hear the sound. But that does not mean the sound of it will affect anything within us. Right? We may be safely hiding in our own world and thinking that, oh, this wind has nothing to do with us. In the same manner, many have heard the gospel again and again. Many have heard of how people have come to know the Lord and how life has been changed. Many heard of how the true and living Christian faith is like. And all have heard of the gospel of Jesus dying for our sins. But only some will believe. The truth is all around us, but we choose not to accept it. Well, in addition, the beautiful creation around us tells us there is a God. I'm not going to go through every argument for it, right? But the most recent evidence is what we call the fine-tuning arguments, right? Top scientists have investigated everything, you know, the distance from the sun, our Earth, the air composition, the water, and many other components of this world, and have concluded that all these are impossible if not for someone who has specially designed it. Well, even if you are not a scientist, daily life tells us that God exists. You don't have to look far. The fact that you can see me through how light is processed in your eyes should make you grateful that God has actually made all this possible. The Bible tells us about God. We have in our hands God's revelation with us. Why? Because he wants us to hear and read his word and be saved. The whole Bible tells us how we are now in the fallen state and how God will save those who have believed through the death and resurrection of Christ. And again, I pray that God will regenerate the faith in you so that you can see that this is indeed the Word of God. Well, it happens to me. I get to know Christ 14 years ago when I first sought him. Before that, I was stubborn, especially thinking that Christians are people who have betrayed the Chinese customs and go after a foreign god. But this is not the case. In fact, strictly speaking, Jesus can be considered born in the East as much as in the West. In any case, I wouldn't have the faith if God has not regenerated me and worked the faith in me. And when this happened, reading the Bible is so different. It is as if reading a different book altogether. The book is just a book if you read it without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I pray for God to lead you as you read the Bible. The truth is one absolute objective truth, but you need the Holy Spirit to open your eyes so that you can see it. And with this truth, right, you look at creation again, and everything and everyone that is around you, right, everything begins to make sense. Right? As C.S. Lewis has said, right, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. Well, but let's come back to wind and sound, right? Have you been in a real quiet room before? If you have, you should know that you can actually hear silence. It's quite amazing. And the more amazing thing is this, right? You know, now, as we sit in this sanctuary, we are actually sitting in quite a noisy place. It's just that we are keeping quiet, and sounds within certain frequency are kept to the minimal. But if we are to have a wider hearing abilities, right, like dogs, we will hear many noises that would not only distract us, but also muffled the words I'm speaking to you now. And this applies to some of us who are caught up by things of this world, right? We want to have, we know a lot of things, right? But we hear the gospel, but the cares of this world choked it. We harden our hearts. We choose not to think about God. We choose not to believe that God has created the world. We choose not to believe in God's word written plainly for us. The sound of the wind is always there, but we choose not to hear it. Or some may hear, but still does not believe. Hearing and knowing is not enough, right? We must believe. The children of Israel heard the thunders at Mount Sinai, but they still murmured and disobeyed after that. Judas Iscariot walked with God, walked with Christ, but that did not lead him to confess Christ. And thus he was the son of perdition. Felix trembled before Christ, but he sent Jesus away. The devils know God and tremble, but they are still devils. What is believing? Believing means acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is spending time and asking God to let you see what he wants you to see and hear what he wants you to hear. That's point two. Now point three, election and the grace of God, covering the third part of John 3 and verse 8. But canst not tell whence it cometh, whither and whither it goeth. One may say, say what you want. My mind is set. No one is going to make me believe. And again, I agree. Right? No one can do that except God. As Christians, we are told to tell others the good news. We don't seek to convert people. Right? That's not our job. A preacher once said that choosing to believe in Christ is like choosing not to believe in Christ is like refusing to breathe. The air tells you, breathe me. You will have life. You will live. If you don't breathe me, you will die. But you are stubborn. And you said, no, I don't believe. I'm not going to breathe. And what do you think the air will tell you? Well, go ahead. He will leave you as he is. And thus, you stop breathing. And you die. God says to sinners like us, repent and be saved. But we continue in our sins. Romans 1 tells us, God will leave us to our own sins if we choose to do that. John 3, the same chapter, 19, verses 19 to 20 tells us, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But again, God knows, and God foreordains for everything to happen. Though at the same time, you are making the choice of your own free will and are responsible for your own action. Man's free will and God's sovereignty goes hand in hand. And we would not know when does God choose to touch your heart. Like the wind that night when Nicodemus meet our Lord. We cannot tell when it comes and where it goes. If God, by his grace, has elected you, that is, he has chosen you to be his child even before time, you will believe. It may not be now. It may take another 20 years. But God will see to it. And when this grace comes, there's no way you can resist it. You may run like Jonah, but God will catch you. You may rebel like the prodigal son, but God will make you turn back. Because God knows every of his child by his name. And once you have believed, the same grace that regenerated you will produce the faith you need to persevere to the end. And this is the promise of God. Philippians 1 and verse 6 tells us, God, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the day when Christ returns for us. That's point three. And now the last point, the salvation of God, covering the last part of John 3 and verse 8. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In John 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus is troubled by the word, born again. He asks, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb again and be born? Jesus told him, our first birth is of water That is when we are first born to this earth from our mother's womb. And our second birth is of the Spirit. It is the regeneration of our whole being. Right? The transformation whereby we are renewed so that we can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. Another question. How do we know that we are born again? By our personal relationship and daily walk with Christ. You see, this goes back to the resurrection of Christ, which we touched on just now. The truth is, Christ not only arose from the dead, he arose and he lived in the hearts of every believer. You have your hymnal with you. Let us turn to hymn 169. Hymn 169, our hymnal. And let me use the lyrics in this song to just illustrate this last point. Hymn 169. Just the first two stanzas. Stanza 1, I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today. I know that he is living whatever men may say. This is what we call the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And the world can tell you all sorts of funny theories and distract you with all kinds of temptations. But deep inside your heart, you know you have believed. Yes, there may be times when you are weak, right, or even backslided. There may be times when you have doubt and even questioned God. But there is still this undying belief that is in your heart. And the pressure of this world may have caused it to reduce to a faint glow. But once the Spirit quickens and revives, the fire will go burning again. One thing is for sure, right? When it is lit, the flame will never die. And it is our Lord Savior whom we are serving wherever God has placed us in this world to be witness for him and to be channel of blessings to others. And the lyrics in this hymn continues. You see his hand of mercy and you hear the voice of cheer. And just the time you need him, he's always near. Jesus is with us when we are down, when discouraged. He will not leave us or forsake us. He strengthens us and he empowers us. Why? Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is always near. In fact, when we need help, you all know, right? He's just a prayer away. It is with this assurance that we can concur with how the second stanza goes. Right? In all the world around me, I see his loving care, and though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. Never will despair. Never will lose hope. Though life can be difficult and even the future unknown, unlike the unbeliever, we have hope. We see things differently because we know that when we are weary, we are tried, at times like this, Jesus carries us upon his shoulders like a true shepherd carries a lost and weak sheep on his shoulders. The second part of stanza 2, through life's great troubles, we know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. And as life gets tougher and the end times approaches, we know the day of his appearing will come at last. As Christians, we don't dread the day of Christ's return. We look forward to the day when we can meet him, raised up in glory, openly acknowledged and acquitted, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Yes, Jesus lives, and he lives today. We know that because he walks with us, and he talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives in part to give us salvation. And how do I know, how do we know that he lives? Because by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, he lives in your heart. Hope this song can strengthen us as you fight the good fight and run a good race in this world. And if you have not believed, it is my prayer that God will touch you so that you can understand the unspeakable joy of salvation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son to come to this earth to suffer and to die for our sin. No love is greater than this, and we pray that you will touch the hearts of your children to believe and be strengthened in the name and power of your Son, the hope of all we seek, the help of all who find. Thank you for putting this new song in our hearts, for setting us free from the bondage of sin so that we can enjoy you forever, so that we will not perish but instead live like how your Son has lived. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.